This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 6:35 and you're with Ayman and Chuck on the Evening Edition. And now we are going to move on to our next story, which is about campaigns, cleanliness campaigns, really, because it was the New Year's Eve, New Year's Day celebrations a couple of days ago. And it turns out that some people might have had too good of a time during those celebrations because DBKL has reported that over 9,000 kilograms of rubbish was cleared from the streets of KL after the New Year celebrations.
Yeah, guys, that's 9 tons of rubbish cleared out after one night, okay? Mm. So a few days before the New Year, DBKL actually conducted cleanliness campaigns. They were urging people to bring their own trash bags and refrain from using those ribbon sprays, the ones that spray out yellow colored noodles or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. Which are notoriously difficult to clean. So they created posters, they used social media hashtags like hashtag We Love Kuala Lumpur, hashtag KL Kita Punya, hashtag People Make KL, to hopefully instill a sense of ownership on the streets of KL.
Yeah, but despite having these awareness campaigns, these cleanliness campaigns, right, the next day the streets were still filled with used air horn canisters, food, plastic containers, vuvuzelas, and also, sadly, ribbon spray, which was specifically said, do not litter with ribbon spray. That was 2.5 tons of garbage at Dataran Merdeka, 4 tons in KLCC, and 2.5 tons at Bukit Bintang. Cleanup took 100 personnel, 10 compactors, and 8 hours to complete.
It's typical, right? You have that one sign that says, jangan membuang sampah di sini, and then everybody membuang sampah di sana, So it's I don't know. It's difficult with these kind of campaigns sometimes, right?
Yeah, because, we've had a few conversations about civic-mindedness, basically. Recently, after Taman Tasik Titiwangsa was reopened, within 5 hours, it was vandalized. People threw litter everywhere. So there was a lot of conversation about, educating the public or creating awareness campaigns. And this is not just in terms of cleanliness and civic-mindedness, also in other aspects making sure people have political education, taking care of your kids in public spaces, making tourism a more friendlier place for tourists. All these issues, there have been suggestions of having awareness campaigns, education campaigns. But how many times do they actually work, right? Because it sounds like that is the go-to strategy. But I don't think it ever works.
You remember all those slogan songs that we had when we were kids, right? I remember one that was really famous was the Cinta Ila IT song,
Yeah, yeah.
And it's not like a song. You just hear it and suddenly you just love IT, right? Mm. No, what's going to get you into it is, you have an Android phone with some really cool apps or something like that and you start using it, right? So, I'm of the opinion that campaigns can only do so much. I just came back from Taiwan. I had a trip there with my girlfriend about a month ago. And I was actually quite shocked because we were walking everywhere around a night market. And night markets in Taiwan, you got bubble tea, you got sausages and stuff like that, right? There's a lot of stuff to throw away. And there's not a single trash can in sight. So eventually we walked the entire night market and we found one trash can. And the size of 3 or 4 football fields, there's only one trash can. And we found out that Taiwan actually has a policy of not having public trash cans because they believe that each individual should be responsible for their own trash. So what Taiwanese people actually do is they actually bring it home sometimes or they stuff it in their bags. They wait for an opportunity to throw it responsibly. And then twice a day, there's a garbage truck that comes by and it's got this little tune that goes, da-da-da-da. Everybody just comes out and throws their rubbish into that truck. And the truck doesn't smell at all. So it's just, I feel like it's a policy thing on top of, as well as education.
Yeah, exactly. And I wonder also how long it takes to inculcate that kind of society-wide culture, right, where people can basically take care of their own trash and not throw it everywhere. For me, songs definitely don't work. Theme songs are nonsense. I never buy them. I also think there's a problem with a top-down approach to it, someone from the top telling us this is how you should behave. I don't think that helps in terms of people responding positively to it. That's why a lot of these things don't really work there.
It's a little bit difficult because the thing is, if it doesn't come from the top, then where is it going to come from? Who is the one that actually comes out and says, this is a better way of doing things? So, what I talked about in Taiwan, the removal of all these public trash cans was actually quite an unpopular move by the government, but eventually it became one of the cleanest countries in the world.
So, what do you think about this? Why are education and awareness campaigns not so effective in changing behavior? Or do you think they're effective? Is there another way that you wish we approach these campaigns? Let us know. You can call us at 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, or you can tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we'll be speaking with Caroline Lau, who is the co-founder of Sampah Menyampah. So, stay tuned on the evening edition, BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
It's Ayman and Chuck on the Evening Edition, and we've been talking about why awareness campaigns can be ineffective in changing our behaviour. This comes after DBKL said that over 9,000 kilograms of rubbish was cleared from the streets of KL after the New Year celebrations, despite them doing cleanliness campaigns prior to New Year's Eve.
And this isn't the first time that a community campaign has failed in Malaysia. I mean, we talked about this earlier. So to help us understand what is it about these campaigns that makes them ineffective, we're crossing over to Caroline Lau, who's a co-founder of Sampah Menyampah, which is a citizens volunteer initiative that's advocating for a cleaner Malaysia. Good evening, Caroline. Thank you for speaking with us today. Okay, so put simply, why haven't campaigns about littering and cleanliness worked?
Well, that's not a very straightforward answer to that one, because human beings aren't straightforward. But I think in Malaysia, the reason why campaigns haven't worked because people simply don't care. And it's not the people that the campaigns are targeted to. It's just people, Malaysians across the board. There's no support. The enforcement is poor. The visibility is poor. The campaigns perhaps are unrealistic. They don't have proper goal set, or they don't seem to go back and be returned to and tracked, you know, what are the outcomes. All that, they're basically poster campaigns. A lot of money is spent on marketing, other things in life in Malaysia, but when it comes to littering, very little. If the littering campaign was taken as seriously as the anti-drug campaign and drug trafficking, we would have the whole government body, the whole enforcement body, even the army, on it and backing us, and everybody knows, and everybody outside Malaysia also would know Malaysia's stance on littering, as they would, as how the whole world knows Malaysia's stance on drug trafficking. But nobody takes littering seriously, because basically I think nobody has taken the environment seriously. We haven't been taught it about it much in schools, in a kind, compassionate way. We haven't been our attention, Malaysians' attention has not been put on environment in very much any way, actually.
And if you want to share knowledge in a meaningful way, right, what helps to translate knowledge or awareness into actual action?
People need to be made aware, and people need to care. That's the main thing. We don't have empathy for environment. We don't have care for environment. That's, I think, across the board of all the problems. And if Malaysians were made to appreciate our environment, made to care for it, whether it's by enforcement or whether it's through, you know, coaxing, but if it was started in schools, we can have that appreciation. It would be easier for us to care about it and look after our environment much better. Yeah. And the action is in the doing. Actually getting out there and doing, whether it's cleaning environment, whether it's cleaning your car and carrying the rubbish and putting it in a bin rather than throwing it out on the street, it's in the action. It's in the mindfulness of putting the trash in the right place. Trash cleanups are brilliant, but they can't be one-off. You have to do it four or five times back-to-back, weekend after weekend, before that habit alters and enters your DNA and you become mindful the next time you have a piece of tissue or something in your hand, that you won't just simply drop it on the ground. So what I think is that we have all these things in place. We have so many committed groups already working on it, even the bodies that have had funding to run campaigns, but there is no commitment to follow through. It's just everything's just a one-off. We need to make it part of our daily lives. And then with that action comes the changing in habits. That's the action that we need. Physical, hands-on, get your hands dirty, be mindful where you throw your trash. That's what we need.
Carolyn, you obviously sound really, really passionate about this. So I assume that you've done some research into other countries. So maybe you can tell us, like, why other countries have succeeded in this when we haven't.
Well, I only know three countries. Of course, Japan has always had a very strong civic consciousness and community consciousness. And in primary school, not primary school, even in nursery, the kids don't learn anything for 2 years except how to clean and mop and look after each other and prepare food and be kind to each other and be mindful to each other. That's the first 2 years of their education. And then from there, has very strong civic consciousness is already embedded in their DNA. And Taiwan was also pretty trash ridden many, many years ago, but they changed it around over 20, 30 years through education. They started in schools. And now we're seeing the fruits of it, and now it's very, very clean. China recently just got in their usual iron-fisted way and are now cleaning up whole mega cities. And they're doing it with enforcement, and they're doing it with paying people to actually stand next to the bins to check that people are throwing properly. You know, of course, they've got some high-tech stuff now, which is all scanned and with cameras and all that to make sure you're doing the right thing. But they are taking it seriously enough, and they know that it's a process. A long-term process. It's not just a one-off and hope for the best. They really need process and follow-up, you know, measurable goals, and then modify them if the targets aren't being achieved. A long-term commitment. And Korea as well, I mean, now they're tackling their waste with a reward system, but the reward is also with a reward is you can also be penalized. So you're penalized for throwing out the amount of organic waste. You have to pay for it. You know, so the less you throw out, the better. So, you know, they have got the backing of serious commitment to follow through. And that's what we need. Whatever campaigns, I can't even think of any anti-littering campaign in Malaysia, really, because nothing sticks in my head. I haven't seen one recently at all. But there's no long-term commitment to see it through.
Hmm. So considering the sort of entrenched nature of this problem, right, can campaigns ever actually change long-held habits? Or is the answer going to lie in enforcement or maybe introducing more incentives, for example?
We cannot just simply reward and give brownie points and all that. I mean, it all depends on whether the people should see that the rewards are that they get the satisfaction that they're keeping, you know, the environment clean. I think it can be. I think campaigns can change these bad habits or the long-term habits that Malaysians have, but they need that serious commitment and funding, the whole government machinery. It cannot just be one Ministry of Housing and local government doing it. If they are spearheading this campaign, every single other ministry needs to be behind them too, because it involves the whole, it cuts across the whole board of Malaysia. It's everything. It's from the education, even down to the houses of worship. It needs to go right across and be followed through by everyone, so that then when, you know, if a school adopts a campaign, they know that they're adopting something that there is a support behind them, and it's something that is going to be moving in the right direction. They just need to put the work into it, you know, but there's no point running a campaign if it's just this one-off thing, which burns out very easily. Campaigns are the last resort. Campaigns are anything to do. Anybody who's doing campaign would know that it's the absolute last resort. Or there's a lot of tremendous amount of groundwork in between that needs to be done beforehand. And that can be done, and you can get results done. And that, and then if those are not achievable, only then you run a campaign. You know, and that campaign, when you run it, it's the last resort, because it's the hardest and it's for the long haul. So yes, campaigns can make a tremendous impact. It's just how they're run.
Right. I mean, we've seen these campaigns over the years as well, and arguably, you know, it hasn't really had much of an impact. So I'm actually really curious to know, Carolyn, what helped you develop your personal sense of responsibility towards keeping public spaces clean?
I'm from old school. I'm from school where we used to clean toilets. Every class had a roster, and we had to go and clean our own designated toilet. And the kids in the class had to do the usual class clean up and sweep, and somebody wiped the board, and somebody swept, and someone did the flowers, and all that kind of thing. So we had that as part of our schooling, right? Part of our learning. And my thing is, whenever people ask me, I just say, show me one. I was Bukit Bintang Girls School. Show me one ex-BBGS girl from the toilet cleaning era and the trash picking up era, because we had to clean the school compounds ourselves, that is littering today. And I can bet you across the board, those thousands of girls from that school, and probably there are other schools as well, I don't know, probably, we do not litter, because it's just something that we learned at school at a very young age, you know, and to be more respectful of the environment. And I'm wondering, because I'm so far removed from school these days, I'm wondering whether that is something that has been lost in our schooling system. and maybe it's something that should go back in again. I hear stories of some parents who are not happy that their child has to sweep the floor because that's something that the paid maids, the house help does, and they do not want to have their kids coming to school to learn to sweep floors. But I think that's a big thing that is missing. We have become so self-absorbed and we have lost the sense of community and doing for the greater, wider community. And there's nothing shameful about sweeping floors, no matter what background you come from. And if more of a, more schools had that, then I think kids would already appreciate looking after the environment, school compound, and then that will just expand to wider environment. And there will be less littering, for sure.
So do you see Malaysians being able to collectively shift towards becoming more mindful when it comes to littering?
I think Malaysians, by and large, there's so many hardworking people out there already trying to tackle this trash issue. Even the people who are working in local authorities and all that, they're facing it every day. Even the people who pick up our trash and sweep up after all these events and all that, everybody is in on it, working it. But it's almost a thankless task. It's really, really thankless, and because Malaysians just generally don't care. By and large, the larger one, we just don't care enough. And hoping that people will see the very big picture that we need to start caring and looking after our environment, because it's our beautiful Tanah Air, and our litter and trash is now getting very damaging. It's taken on a whole new narrative and a whole new story now that we know about plastic pollution, and now that the population is increasing all over the world. This story of trash is a very serious one, and we really need to reduce our trash footprints across the whole, our whole lives, the way how we live. It just needs to be more mindful and more empathic towards one another and our planet. And only then can we live a happier life, we think.
Carolyn, thank you for speaking with us today. That was Carolyn Lau, co-founder of Sampah Menyampah, talking about the effectiveness of awareness campaigns. And you can share your thoughts with us too. We want to know where you think these campaigns are going wrong and what alternatives you want to see. You can call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 0187898899, or you can tweet us at BFM Radio. So keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.